Good morning. Happy Sabbath. How many of you have ever made a promise before? How many of you have kept all of your promises? We have good intentions, don't we? I mean, we try to, when we commit to something, we want to follow through. And sometimes, whether it be through circumstances or whether we forget, you know, as I get older, I'm beginning to remember I forget more often. One author put it this way. She said, humanity's promises are like ropes of sand. Now, that may not make a lot of sense, but glass is made from sand. How brittle is glass? Pretty brittle, isn't it? Our promises, think about that for a moment. Our promises and humanity, in our humanity, our promises are like ropes of sand. Can we count on a person's promise? No. And this is really what, you know, when we look at the terms, those of you that have theological minds or a religious background, when we think of Old Covenant and New Covenant, Old Covenant and New Covenant, the New Covenant really is God's everlasting covenant, okay? It's the everlasting covenant. The Old Covenant is God was giving us an everlasting covenant, and man said, well, I've got to throw my 2 cents in, and so man says, hey, all that you said, God, we'll do it. And so mankind made a promise there at Sinai, Mount Sinai. Lord, you said, we'll do it. We will do it. And how long did that promise last? It wasn't kept very long, was it? And so that's really the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant is based on faulty promises. It's based on man's promises. We make these promises, we can't keep them. The Everlasting Covenant or the New Covenant is based on God's promises. And as we're going to see, when God makes a promise, is he able to keep it? Does he always keep it? Always he keeps it, doesn't he? Let's pray. Father God, once again, we pray that as we open your word, that you will speak to us. We ask for your Holy Spirit to, again, help us to understand what we're going to read, and that, Lord, we will receive it into our lives, not just simply as words, but to receive it as you. We pray for heavenly angels to be in this room, in our setting here, Lord, even with those that are by the international web. We just pray that you would, Lord, have angels surrounding us, keeping all the distractions at bay. Help us to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, we had a guest speaker here last week that I thought did a wonderful job presenting a message and placing before us an understanding of communion. As I prayed with our deacons and deaconess up front this morning as we were preparing for the service today, one of the things that I prayed for was that our church would have a paradigm shift in this way. Usually at communion time, many churches have a diminished attendance. People feel as if that's the Sabbath that they're going to skip out on. It's one that they think they're not worthy. I'd like to see of any hands today and in of yourself who feels worthy today. I don't think any of us could raise our hands. None of us are worthy, right? But Jesus, being the true minister of reconciliation, sets a table for us. As we learned last week, this is a table of reconciliation that the Lord himself sets before those who would be his enemies. And he says, come to the table. Come, let us sit down together. And in partaking of that meal, his message to us is, your family. You are welcome here. And so as we come, as we respond to that invitation, it's his love, it's his love for us that gives us the confidence that we can come. We don't have to fear. There's nothing to fear. This invitation came long ago. If you'll take your Bible, if you have your Bibles with you or your electronic app, and we're going to look at some text today briefly. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis 3, 15. This is the first verse I'm going to give us today. Now, this is, again, after Adam and Eve had fallen. They had partaken of the forbidden fruit, and the Lord had found them. He come wandering, looking for them in the garden. He knew what had happened. He's come again to redeem them, as we see here in verse 15. The promised covenant is that Jesus makes is, and I will put what? Enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Now, Jesus is here. He's making, God again is making a promise. He says, look, you have sinned, and you need a Savior. And the good news is, I've already made a plan. There's a plan in place, and I've come to tell you about it, and there is going to be one who's coming. This is a prophetic message, a covenant, a promise that God has made that he is going to send a redeemer. And although this redeemer will have a striking blow that will come against him, he will be victorious, and he will crush the enemy's head. Satan himself, he will defeat the enemy. He will defeat sin. He will conquer death. That's the promise. And this is the promise that Adam and Eve began to pass on to their children, Cain and Abel, when it came to the sacrificial system. Again, the message is God will provide a lamb. God will provide a deliverer. God will provide a sin bearer. We get to Genesis, turn a little bit further, Genesis 12, and we find here's Abram coming onto the scene. Abraham, as we know him, you know, the father of faith, right? The father of the promise. He gets the promise echoed again to him through the Messiah, concerning the Messiah. Genesis 12 and verse 3, he is told, I will bless those who what? And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be what? How? Through you. What scripture means there is through you. Through your offspring. Through the one, the promised child would come through your lineage. We find this again, it's repeated in Genesis 18, 18, Genesis 22, 18, and so forth, and there's a lot of other places, okay? Now take your Bibles, turn to Galatians, New Testament, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Here the Apostle Paul spells it out a little more clearly. Galatians 3 and verse 16. The promises were spoken to Abraham. That's who we were just talking about, right? And to his what? Seed. Now, Paul again corrects some thinking. He says, the scripture doesn't say and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one who is who? The person of Christ. See, again, God through the Apostle Paul, is helping us understand, he's spelling things out, that salvation cannot come by your own doing, but it will come through one, and that one is who? Jesus Christ. This was the promise from the beginning. This was the promise given to Abraham. This was the promise that was passed down through time. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. Galatians 4, beginning with verse 4, it says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, for what purpose? To redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of what? Sonship or daughtership, whatever your case may be." God said at just the right time, he sent forth his son to be born under a woman, in other words, under the sinful flesh, born under law, in other words, he was born condemned to die. He came to die. Okay? So that we might be what? Saved. That we might be redeemed and that we might have the rights to be children of God. Because you are, verse 6 says, because you are sons or children of God, God sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into our hearts, and the spirit who calls out what? Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, since you are a son of God, has made you also a what? An heir. An heir. We know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, he sent him here, right? That whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to turn to a text here, just for a moment. Mark, turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. So we can just understand again that God has made a what? A promise. And what has his promise been? That he will take care of the sin problem and save humanity. Okay? Let's read verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is what? Impossible. But with God, all things are possible." All things are possible with God. I want you to look at the verse before that to see the context of what Jesus is saying here. Verse 26, the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be what?" I want that next verse to sink in. Who can be saved? With man, what did Jesus say? Impossible. Let that sink in. No matter what efforts you put forth, God knows it's impossible for you to save yourself. It's impossible. You can't earn it. You can't purchase it. You can't be good enough. It's impossible. But God made a promise. And when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And he kept it in the life of his son, in sending his son here. With man, this is impossible. But with God, how much is impossible? There's nothing impossible. All things are possible for God. So when it comes to our communion service, when we come here, we're recognizing, hey, God, I can't save myself. It's impossible. But you kept your promise. Nothing shall be impossible. Not even the saving of this man. Nothing is impossible for God. Now I want you to turn now with me to John 14. John 14. Beginning with verse 1, Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God." Trust in who? Not in yourself? Trust in God. "Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms," Jesus said. "If it were not so, I would have what? I'm going there to prepare a place for somebody else." I want you to say this verse with your name in it. I go to prepare a place, and then you say your name. Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for Lou." Don't say my name. Say your name. Unless it's Lewis. "I go to prepare a place for Lou." And Jesus says, if I'm saying this, if I'm going to go up prepare a place for you, I'm not going to go up prepare a place for you and not expect you to be there. God says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare, I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm coming back for you. So that where I am, you may be what? Also. So what does that have to do with communion? Well, let's turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. See how simple that is? Matthew 26, 26. "While they were eating," this is the Last Supper, "Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples saying, 'Take and eat, this is my," what? "My body." Verse 27, "Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and offered it to them saying, 'Drink from it,'" how many? "All of you. This is my blood of the covenant." This is the new covenant cup, "which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of" what? "Sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day." What day? "When I can drink with you again in my Father's kingdom." Wow. You see, in the communion service, we have bread and we have the juice or wine, right? We have the bread representing the body that Jesus came, that was broken, that was condemned to die on our behalf. Boom. A promise made, a promise kept. But in this same service, we see another promise made with the cup. Jesus says to us, "I won't drink of this cup with you until we're in the kingdom." Now, for us to drink the cup with Jesus in the kingdom, if he's not going to drink of it until we're in the kingdom, and we're here, what is he saying? "I'm coming to get you. I'm coming again. And I'm going to take you to be with me. And we're going to drink of this cup at the table in heaven." A promise made, a promise yet to come. The bread, promise made, promise kept. The juice, a promise made, a promise to come. Whoa! I don't know about you, but that's a fairly new revelation to me. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. Turn with me there. It says this. Second Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised?" A promise made, a promise kept. A promise made, a promise to come. Scoffers will say, "Where's this promise? Where is this God? Where is this Savior?" Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it is since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by the word, God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluded and destroyed. By that same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like what? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord, this is key now, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. He is patient with whom? You. Not wanting anyone to perish. But how many to come to repentance? Everyone. Where is your God? He's waiting for you. Why hasn't Jesus returned? He's waiting for you. He wants all to come to the table. Amen? Friends, I tell you today, with all confidence, Jesus is coming again soon. He's coming again. Because he made a promise, and he's kept it. He's made another promise, and he will keep it. Amen? Amen. So today, don't resist coming to the table because you don't feel worthy. Because you're not. Don't resist coming to the table because you haven't kept your promises. Because you can't. Come to the table today because you know that God, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we celebrate this service today not in recognition of what we have done. No. But we come in recognition of what you have done. And so today, Lord, I pray that as we partake of this service together, we will truly come with hearts of rejoicing. That we will truly come with celebration. And that this will be a foretaste of that banquet we will take place in the kingdom made new when you will partake of this cup again. Until then, you let us partake of it to remind us of your covenant promise to come back and take us home to be with you. We look forward to that day. In Jesus' name.